Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk. Excuse me, let me say that again. Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, June 25th, 2012. My name is Sally Baptist. I'll be hosting the show tonight. My co-host is Charlie Klein. He'll be joining us momentarily. And our special guest tonight is Tom Pastore, and he'll be joining us momentarily. If you have anything you want to talk about tonight, we're going to have an interesting topic. We're going to talk about America under attack by the Amerophobes. And so this is it's what we need to talk about. There's all these things about racial profiling and discrimination and things like that. It's like, well, it's not Islamophobe here in the United States. It's Amerophobe. It's those who are in America who don't want to be Americans. And so we're going to get into a discussion about that today. And then, and I think that's going to take up some of our time. And then we'll do an update on some other things. So feel free to call in 347-857-4364. That's 347-857-4364. Make sure you press 1 if you would like to speak on the air. If you do not press 1, I will not know you want to speak on the air. And we have a lot of people who call in and just listen, so we don't bother you if you just want to listen. So press 1 to speak on the air. You can also go into the chat room. I've got the chat room open now. So you can go out into the chat room and post your comments out there and see what other people are thinking about and doing and all that fun stuff. Here, as you know, American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, we're here to talk about what we have to do to restore honor and honesty, ethics, and integrity into the system. We're here to take back this country. If you don't realize that the United States is on the brink of falling, if it hasn't already, and I'm telling you, there's times when I think we have already fallen and we just don't know it. You know, the fall of Rome, the fall of the USA. It's history repeating itself. We, the people, have been negligent. We've allowed a bunch of people to create a U.S. corporation to incorporate us, take over us, take away our rights, our liberties. It's been disgusting, and we truly are to blame ourselves. And the only way we're going to fix it is for us to get involved, get fully engaged in the process, and demand that our rights and our Constitution be restored. And on that note, let's talk about a couple of things that have happened today, and then we're going to get into the topic of the Amerophobes with Tom Pastore. The let's see, one thing real quick here. The I have to comment, in case you haven't heard about this, I just got the information on this yesterday, I think it was. And I'm going to start, either, you know, Obama, he doesn't think he's a president. He thinks he's a king or he's a dictator. So depending on whether you think we should refer to him as King Obama or Traitor Obama or Dictator Obama, whichever one, he's not a president because he does whatever he feels like doing. He has no respect for the rule of law. He has no respect for the people of this country. And he is doing what he can to destroy the sovereignty of this country. He's doing his best to ruin it. And it's out there right now. Obama is selling the Alaskan Islands to Russia. Excuse me, not selling, gives them away. Let me make that perfectly clear. King Obama gives Russia the Alaskan Islands. These Alaskan Islands are, there's like 7 of them, I believe, 7 Alaskan Islands. And they are very rich with oil. And, of course, they're ours. They're not Russia's. So once again, Obama proves that he supports the enemy more than he supports the country. Why would we ever go out of our way to give this kind of land, this energy source, all the natural resources that are there, to an enemy like Putin? Obama doesn't. He's anti-American. He does not belong in that White House. And my total disgust of those who are in the Congress who don't do anything about it is equally disgusting, and they are two traitors. You know, at what point are we going to start saying that these people are guilty of treason? We talk about it here on the show, but, you know, the media is way too scared to say the word treason. They're too afraid. The media has no clue how to report the truth anymore. It's whoever side they're leaning on, and then whatever politically correct, and we're going to be getting into politically correct here, politically correct thing it is to say is going to be the topic. What they're going to say. They're not going to report the truth. They're going to report what they're told to report and whatever the politically correct thing is. I mean, 2012 is so disgusting to me in so many ways. I mean, what this president is doing, just like this, I mean, can you imagine giving Russia, the United States giving Russia, 7 Alaskan islands that are rich with oil. I mean, they're very, it just isn't what you would do. We need the resources here. He's giving away our economy. He's giving away our sovereignty. He's giving away our security to Russia. And he says he's an American? He's not an American. How can anybody believe this guy's an American? No American would do this to America. He's a traitor. And he should be charged with, he should be impeached and charged with treason. There are so many ways he could be charged with treason, it's not funny. And yet you got these people in the Senate and in the House. And you know what, the Senate, I don't care whether you're Democrats or not. Treason is treason. And if you're willing to protect his treasonous actions, then you are a traitor and guilty of treason too. And I mean, I believe that so much. It's so disgusting. So I was going to let people know, in reference to the Obama gives Alaska, the islands, to Russia, I have been faxing information to various senators and representatives, of course my own, but some of the others, especially with the districts changing. So I have been putting it out there, at what point are you going to go after this guy for treason? At what point are you going to do your job and impeach Obama for treason? So I've been putting it out there, and I would ask that you do the same. And then also, you know, talk to any media. Try to get some of these media, Rush or whoever, to talk about it on the air. Most of them, again, they're too scared to. But you can also call the White House. And there's two White House numbers, 202-456-1111 and then 202-456-1414. Call the White House and let the president know what you think of them. And then you can call the regular switchboard, which is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And you can talk to whoever you want to in the Senate and in the House. But we've got to make sure that Obama knows that we know what he's doing. And we've also got a demand. It's time to impeach the guy. It is time to impeach him. If we don't impeach this president, then, again, we've fallen. The United States of America has fallen. We stand for nothing. We don't stand for the rule of law. Take a look at what's happening with Arizona. Now, the Supreme Court ruling on Arizona, from what little bit I heard, and I don't have all the details, said that they had the right to ask for ID. But apparently they removed other provisions of it, of their bill, but I don't know exactly what. But they do technically still have right to ask for ID, as I understand it. And then apparently, as this was all coming down, King Obama is out there saying that they suspend any kind of communication or working with Arizona and whatever else. So what's going to happen is they'll arrest the illegals, and then the federal government will just ignore them and leave him there. That's what kind of president we have. This is treason. The guy is not an American. He's a traitor, and he needs to be impeached. And when are we ever going to get people into that House of Representatives and that Senate and the Congress? When are we going to ever get people in there who will actually do something? These people are just as coward. They're more disgusting in many ways because they're sitting on the sidelines letting this happen. It's disgusting. Then we have Obamacare, whatever's going to happen on that this week. And I'll tell you, it's, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting week when we see whatever comes of it, if they don't totally shut down Obamacare. And, you know, they say something about it. If they say the mandate's illegal or unconstitutional, they're truly, by judicial process, they should be striking the whole thing because the liberals like Pelosi and company, they were very specific in saying they did not want the severability clause in there. So they put it out there to say it's either everything or nothing. So if the Supreme Court justice does the right thing, it's either going to be one or the other. It's not going to be bits and pieces. Because that isn't the way it, they deliberately removed the severability clause. So it's all one bill. It's not bits and pieces. So we'll see what happens on that one this week. And then, make sure you mark your calendars for this Wednesday. Mark the date. We're going to be having a special, Americans Must Stop TPP, which is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Trans-Pacific Partnership. And this is like a super NAFTA. So if you think NAFTA is bad, just wait and see what this is. So this is one more attempt for the Agenda 21, the One World Order, One World Government, the destruction and the demise of the United States of America. And very little is being said about it, again, in the media. The media doesn't do their job worth a darn. They're out there for entertainment. They're not out there for reporting anymore. And that's the sad truth. And I mean, I saw that with good old Rhino Rubio was out there on Sean Hannity, which I did not watch. I saw him on there, and I said, nope, I cannot listen to this. I cannot listen. And, of course, Sean Hannity, he's a GOP puppet. He does whatever he's told to do. He says whatever he's told to say. He goes out there and talks about being a conservative. He says he's not a Republican. He's a conservative. But he does whatever the Republicans tell him. He pull the string. You know what he's going to say. And that's exactly, the Republican Party has been out there promoting Rubio, which I think is getting close to the point where they're not going to allow, I think the Republican Party, especially after this DREAM Act thing came down, I think they have realized that Rubio isn't going to be a good thing to be on the ticket. So I think they've sort of put him on the long list now. I don't think he's on that short list like he was. Either probably, still talking to him some. But I think they're thinking twice about that decision. But all I do is ask people, would you please not buy his stupid book? Don't promote this kind of garbage. Rubio, he's just disgusting. I tried here at American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. We tried to tell people not to vote for him, that he was a rhino. He wasn't a Tea Partier. Pro-amnesty, pro-illegals, just like he's doing here. We tried to tell you what he really was because we saw what he did in the Florida House. But no, people just insisted on voting for the pretty face as usual. So that's what we got. So anyway, on that note, I'm going to go ahead and bring Charlie in here and see what's going on with him. I think I've ranted enough for one day. And hey, Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Got something for you.
Okay.
Article 2, Section 2. The president shall have power to by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. That doesn't mean four or five senators. There's 100 senators. So that means he has to come up with at least a majority of two-thirds. So that means if there's five or six senators missing, two-thirds of that amount. But not five or six senators in his office and having two-thirds of them concur. Because the book, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights are all done with honest people. People of the highest integrity and love of this country. They were willing to die for this country. President Obama is not willing to die for anybody. But I'm just saying is, so just that the people know, he shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties. So therefore, whatever he does with Russia has to be approved by two-thirds of the Senate before he can do it. So if he doesn't, he's in total in violation of the Constitution, and so is anybody else on there, which means if the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, has anything to do with this, and it doesn't go through proper channels and through the Senate, then she too will be in, how would you say, treasonous action against we the people. She'll be committing an act of treason to take away property that belongs to we the people without our consent. It has to be made public. If it's a backdoor deal, this place is rich in oil and in marine life, and we're just going to hand it over to an arch enemy that we have been fighting for since World War II. It's been a Cold War, but we've been fighting with Russia since World War II because the leaders of Russia have had a different outlook on life than we American people have and most of the world has. That would truly be a total aiding and abetting of the enemy because we are still not allies 100% with Russia. If we were allies with Russia like we are with England, as an example, then everything would be okay. But we are not. So he is treading on very light ground now. But I tell you what, fiduciary responsibility, the breach of the fiduciary responsibility or duty of the President of the United States and of the senators and of Congress is being breached again. And it's time for us to go ahead and file a suit. If it means going down there and just writing a one-page deal regarding this and seeing what happens to it. Tell you what, we need to get that out there. There are people out there with money who can afford to do it. There are lawyers who probably listen to this program who could make themselves a wonderful name by doing something like that, but they have to have the sisu, the guts and determination and the love of America. They have to be patriots to be able to say, I'm going to do something for my country because I don't like what's happening. If there is not a lawyer out there willing to do that, then we have a legal profession that sucks 1,000%. Back to you.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's just so many things I see out there that scare me. The only motivating factor is that there's a lot of people that are really awakening to what's going on and getting involved, and gives me faith that there is some hope that we can change it. But I'll tell you, we need Obama out of there now. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more disgusting than these people in that Senate and in the House that just stand by twiddling their thumbs and acting like they can wait until November. No, you can't wait until November. And when it comes to selling or giving, I keep saying selling, giving Russia the Alaskan islands, he'll play tricks with that. He'll wait till the Senate's out, and then there's only a couple of them there, so he only needs two or three. He plays all the games. He's a crooked, evil person.
When he violates something like that, then it is up to the Senate to come back and for them to take action on it, which means Harry Reid is failing in his fiduciary responsibility, and we need to get the word out to Tina and Vicky. I tried Vicky's new email address, and it's not working.
I have a new mine's been working with her, so I'll send it to you.
Okay, yeah, send me hers because I want to send something regarding this to them because I think this is perfect now for the fiduciary thing to file it against him when he gets back to Las Vegas. They could probably have him served by the Las Vegas process server on his next trip home. And it doesn't have to be a very long one. All it has to do is five or six people sign it, file it in the court of law, and have him served and say, this is it for failing to do his job in allowing treason by the president.
We will see. Yep. We will see what we can do on it. We'll definitely keep the discussion going, and we'll definitely be talking some more about it on Wednesday, I'm sure.
Right.
Because it all goes in with other stuff.
Uh-huh.
Any other topics before we go to Mr. Tom Pastore?
No, I'd say let's go with Tom. Let's get this thing going.
Okay. Well, now we're going to talk to Mr. Amerophobes.
He's come up with some real good ones, and he got us on Neil Bortz, so that's a good one.
Well, and it's true. America is under attack by the Amerophobes. And,
that's right.
Tom, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was thinking after that introduction, he probably's going to hang up.
A lot of people are probably saying, what in the world is that name, Amerophobe? Well, it's actually out there. It's out there in a limited fashion. Unfortunately, none of the media will embrace the word, even though it's applicable to a lot of what's going on. In essence, an Amerophobe, or the performance of Amerophobia, if you will, is people who have flourished and enjoyed the life that they get from living within the boundaries of the United States. But they turn around then and they become haters of the same rewards that allow them to prosper. They hate the way we live. They hate the way we believe. They hate our love of country, our patriotism, our loyalty. They most certainly hate our desire to be self-reliant, because they want to embrace socialistic government. They hate our belief in faith, because that's not allowed. These are people who generally hate all the ingredients that made this country and allowed them to be protected and flourish in their life. So I find it bizarre, but it's truly got to be a phobia. And I use this in a mixed bag, if you will. I use it tongue-in-cheek, if you will, and with a bit of seriousness, too. And let's use one of the most recent examples. You got a lot of these Muslims of the Islam faith. Now, Americans obviously have experienced quite a bit from people who are the Islamic extremists, if you will, or with the 9/11 experience. So naturally, they're not going to embrace anybody outright. But those of Islam who live in this country and have flourished and prospered in a country where they could never have prospered in identical fashion in their homelands. Now, these people are turning around and calling us because we disagree with them. We don't want them to disrespect us. We do have an existing culture of our own, which they choose to ignore. So when we say, no, we disagree with you in a variety of fashions. No, we disagree with the teaching of Islam in our public schools. No, we disagree, and we find it disrespectful to try to build a mosque which within just a couple blocks of Ground Zero in downtown Manhattan. We're suddenly called Islamophobes. Now, that's bizarre, and the media just grabs that. The media grabs it, and they run with it. So now you go to any hearing, and there's been considerable, and throughout the country, actually, there's been considerable public hearings where the Islams have come out in force, because suddenly now they have this mad desire to build all these mosques throughout the United States. And when you come out and object, which is our right, our constitutional right, we're called Islamophobes, which is essentially is rooted in a psychological disorder. They're essentially saying we have a phobia, an unfounded fear of people of Islam. Well, if you ever looked at the footage of those planes going through the World Trade Center buildings, that's real fear. That's not unfounded. That's a real fear. Yet they call us phobics, and we got a phobia. Now, this word's been used throughout the past few decades in this country for other people who refuse to accept are disagreeing with them for one issue or another. Not violent disagreement, just disagreement. Suddenly you're phobic. And the media runs with that. So I figured, well, let's see if the media will grasp onto the word Amerophobe, which essentially means people who hate America. They choose to flourish and prosper here, but then they hate it at the same time. They hate all the beliefs, all the cultural understandings we've had that have allowed them to enrich themselves. And then they turn around and call us phobic because now we don't want to, we the majority, don't want to do what the mere minority want us to do. And we can list the dozens of things. But we all know the terms. We've heard the word phobia. And it's unfounded. It's actually profiling. They are profiling us. It's a psychological profile. Because you go to public hearings or you debate pieces of legislation that may be being bounced around the country now, and they say, oh, if you disagree with me, then you got a phobia. You're phobic. And you say, well, hold on, I'm disagreeing with you. It's my right to. That's how this country was built, essentially, on people disagreeing constructively. Well, they find a meeting of the minds. But we can't have that no more. The majority aren't allowed to speak. The majority have been denied the equal podium through the mass media, which we certainly have more so now than we did maybe even just a generation ago. The mass media grabs onto these politically correct words, and they hang their hat on it. And they look at you and say, why are you phobic? Well, they're profiling us too. I'm disagreeing with you. I don't have a phobia over anything. I disagree. What I do have is a history of a couple hundred years or more of an American culture that built this country with an enormous amount of human sacrifice. People fought for all kinds of people's rights, be it from the early revolution to the Civil War. And I'm going to believe and hang on to those rights because that's what built us and made this country exceptional throughout the world. Now you tell me I just have to drop all that because some minority group wants to do things their way? They want to take the round world and make it flat? And if I disagree, I have a phobia? I have a mental disorder? Look it up, people. Phobia essentially means a mental disorder. It's rooted in the foundation of medical psychology. That's profiling, and that's prejudicial. Don't call me. Don't say I have a phobia because I disagree with you. I don't want a mosque two blocks away from ground zero, merely out of respect. So now I'm an Islamophobe? Or I choose not to have legislation dictating one thing or the other for whatever minority group is out there. And I have a phobia? No, I don't. I have a constitutional right to disagree with you. But the same people that are going around saying we were name-calling them have, in fact, been name-calling us, calling us phobic, saying we profile. Profile what? What are we profiling? You know, and these are all key words. And what they do is they generate guilt. A lot of people actually fall for this. And this is being done by an enormous amount of Amerophobes, if you will. Because I do this now tongue-in-cheek, but with a bit of seriousness. I'm going to go around now and call them the phobics because they've been calling us the phobics. And I'm hoping other people do too. Take all these people who hate this country and call them what they really are. They are the phobics. They are the Amerophobics, American haters, for whatever selfish, self-serving reason that they have. It's not rooted in making this country better. It's not rooted in collective bargaining, because if you do have a concern that perhaps maybe we should all sit down constructively and come up with a solution, they've refused to negotiate these things. It's got to be their way. And if you disagree, well, you must have a phobia, and we're profiling you as such. And then the media goes around saying that. So a blind, ignorant media that forgets the hardcore Americans who sacrificed so they can continue their free press and their freedom of speech. Well, those Americans are easily forgotten for the minority few who have chosen now to profile and name call the mass, and I mean mass majority of Americans. I find it absolutely bizarre. I mean, a story came out today, and it has a religious leaning. Actually, it doesn't have a religious leaning. The military was allowing the endorsement of their particular SEALs, be it Army, Marines, so-and-so, on the front of the Bibles by a Bible manufacturer. Now a minority group of anti-Christians decided, no, you can't do that. That is harmless. It has nothing to do any promoting any religion whatsoever. It's the military allowing the symbol of their military insignia being put on the front of the Bibles. And yet now the military conceded, the mass majority that allowed and protected these people's freedom of choice have now gone on bended knee to a minority anti-Christian group. I mean, this is not because it troubles them or it puts them in a trauma. This is a type of revenge thing. You know, we're going to use our minority influence. We're going to name call you. And we're going to give you, with the media support, we're going to make it look like you're haters. Why? Because they've allowed and granted permission to put a military insignia on Bibles. You don't have to open it. You don't have to read it. You don't have to look at it if you don't want to. But allow what has been tradition to continue. But no. So who are the real phobics here? These anti-Christian haters. They are the real phobics. They have a phobia. They have a fear of the Judeo-Christian religion. And quite frankly, that's fine. That's their choice. But don't tell us we have to stop the world so they can live in their satisfied little delusional world. Why should the mass majority have to stop existing as they know best and what served them for generations? Now, I can go on and on, but the bottom line here is, and we should remember this word, Amerophobes, haters of America, though they thrive and sit at the table of all the fruit born from the riches of this country, they reject that which has sustained them for generations. Now, who has the true phobia? It's these people, and you can name a variety of different groups. Amerophobes. That's what they are. I want that word to go out all over. And I want the media to start doing the fair and balanced reporting and start reporting who the true phobias are, the true phobics, who want to change the round world and make it flat because they decided it is. So I know I'm going on here, and I'm at the soapbox here, and I'm preaching, you know, but it just troubles me that a mass media that has forgotten how its very existence continues on in safety has sided with the minorities and the mere minorities
I was just going to say, the perfect example, and this is the media and the phobia to begin with, is, you know, we're the ones that are treated as Islamophobes because we didn't want the mosque at Ground Zero, which is truly more out of a respect than it was anything else. Had that not happened and someone was putting a mosque on there, nobody probably would have even noticed, but not after what had happened there. But we're the ones that are being raked over the coals by the media and being acted like we're the ones that are the haters. And at the same time, on the other side with the thing with the Bible, that's okay. It's despicable. It's so frustrating. And it's like, again, if we don't start standing up for what America believes in and the majority having a say, we're the majority that has to keep getting trampled on. We don't have any rights. The majority have no rights. We are the sheeple of the minority. Such as the Islams or whatever, Islamic, and this stuff. And it's crazy. It's like, when are we going to start being who we are? Or has this country already fallen? Have we truly already fallen?
Well, I suspect we probably, if anything, we're on one knee, and we're about to land on the other one, you know, in submission. Because we cannot exist when we let these special interests, self-serving, selfish minority organizations exert undue, unattainable influence.
When we allow the ACLU to constantly go in and knock down our rights anywhere in this great country, our rights to worship God, the ACLU tells me that they are Amerophobes, because they do not love this country and its freedoms. They want the freedoms the way they want them to be. They do not want the freedoms the way it's designed. Our country was and is a Judeo-Christian, of Judeo-Christian heritage. 50 of the 56 signers, 52 were devout Christians and believed in the Bible and in God's word. This country was developed with God's word of honesty and integrity. We now have a Congress that is allowing the President of the United States, who apparently, from his actions, is defying the Constitution and its honest intent and our Founding Fathers' honest intent. And what it is the country and the Constitution and the rights of the people is not designed to withstand dishonesty and corruption. But now we have a major corruption situation in our elected officials on a federal, state, and local level. Those are the Amerophobes that we have to remove from office, because they apparently have turned around and says, we don't like the Constitution. If you don't like the Constitution on a federal, state, or local basis, you do not belong in the United States of America, because the Constitution was designed to protect we the people from the Amerophobes. And now what we have to do is go after those who the Amerophobes and get them out of government. And those who don't like this country, get them the hell out of the country. We may not be able to do the latter part, but the heck we can. We can pinpoint them and put them on the front of the newspaper so that people will know that they are unconstitutional, and therefore they're not patriot Americans.
This has got to be done when we write opinions to the papers, when we give tips to the media, when we do interviews, perchance, at the media, if we write an opinion into a newspaper, we got to call it exactly as we see it. These people, a lot of people, not all of them, a lot of people are Amerophobes. They wish to destroy the existing country called the United States of America, and because they wish to alter it in such a degree where it will not be recognizable no more as an independent nation. They'll just blend in with all those cookie-cutter socialist European countries. And that's what we got to stop. When anybody, if there's an encounter with people of the Muslim faith, and I have serious problems with what they do, and because I can document what we've seen over the years. I mean, what other country would allow Muslims to dance in the streets of New Jersey and New York the same day and days after the collapsing of the buildings at the World Trade Center and the Pentagon? This happened. Muslims were dancing in the streets for joy.
Was that happening here in the United States? I knew it happened overseas, but I don't recall ever hearing about an airport.
I read the stories. I picked up New York newspapers. I read the stories. They were dancing in New Jersey, and the New Jersey police had to protect them from the Americans. They were dancing in the street, and people were calling it freedom of speech. They were dancing in the street because Americans were dying in these buildings. And I've never... And I stay in touch with a lot that goes on in New York, but it's going on throughout the country. Muslims will come out in force when they need to go to a public hearing supporting their desire to build a mosque. But you tell me one march, one parade, one celebration where the Muslims have come out in force waving American flags and denouncing the so-called Islamic terrorists. When they don't do that, their silence is endorsing what happened on the day of 9/11. They're endorsing that. So why should I embrace them? Why should I accept? That's not a phobia on my part. I am seeing or not seeing what I'd like to see. I'd like to see them say, yes, we live here, we support America, and we denounce the terrorists. I don't see that. I don't see that come out in the thousands, but they don't. I don't see that. So why should I embrace them when they decide to come out in the thousands to build a mosque? This is America. We have an existing culture. We used to be what was called a melting pot. But no, now everybody wants to have their own pot. They don't want to assimilate no more. They want us to jump into their pot, if you will. I know that may be a poor metaphor, but the point here is that we used to be a country, granted, invited people from all over the world, but we assimilated. We assimilated and became one with a common bond or several common bonds, be it religion, be it the speaking of the English language, or the desire. The most common bond was the desire to be free Americans. But we don't do that now. Everybody's got a hyphenated name now. Everybody is this and that. You know, I'm this from that country. I'm that from that country. Nobody calls themselves Americans no more.
Well, yeah. Sally and I, we say we are Americans. We are Americans. I'm an American my ancestry's in Finland.
Yeah, but we're talking hyphenated names now. Everybody's hyphenated. Everybody who's here now has got to naturally talk about where they came from before. The idea was you left your country for a better opportunity here.
Yeah.
And you decided this country exists already. We have an existing culture of over a couple hundred years.
Well, the media, we got to get the media.
We have laws. And when you come here, you have to abide by our existing culture, just like I would if I went to your country. But that's not what's going on no more. Now people, absolute strangers, can come here, and if we disagree with something they wish to inflict upon us, we're called blank phobias. In this case, it's Islamophobias. But I can name a million. There's a million different things. We say, hold on, I live here. I've been here for generations. My family grew up here. I disagree with what you're trying to force down my throat. And you're calling me with a phobia? And my own supportive media is going along with the outsider? I mean, let's think. This is not difficult, people. This is so simple. It's frightening. We've made it appear difficult because we've allowed strangers, special interest groups, to psychologically profile us and make us feel guilty over something we haven't done. And it's worked. And people are feeling guilty. They're afraid to speak up because somebody's going to call them blank phobia.
Yeah, they're going to call them racist.
Yeah, or racist. This is real. You can't disagree with anybody about anything no more without being called a name, which
right.
is essentially profiling you. For somebody to call you a name, that means they profiled you. They don't know you. They didn't ask you what your beliefs are. But if you go to a hearing or a meeting or a protest and you disagree with them, suddenly you're profiled and you're name called. You're being name calling. And the media, your fellow Americans who are protected by you over the generations are siding with these people. We are watching in slow motion the destruction of the United States of America because you cannot deny your culture as an American, and allow absolute strangers to come in and trample over it under the guise of constitutional freedoms. Because
right.
it doesn't
right.
work like that. It doesn't work like that. But we've allowed it to happen. People have to seriously think about this. There's an enormous amount of people disguising themselves as being well-intended, but they're really Amerophobes, out to destroy this country, seeking their own self-interest goals. And unfortunately, it's not just limited to the citizenry and John Q. Public in the streets. It's elected officials who desire and know that there's no way you could achieve socialism in this country if you actually abide by the law. But go around and make people feel guilty. And the healthcare thing, that's a ploy also. People are going around saying, I have a right to healthcare. No, you don't have a constitutional right to healthcare. You have guarantees that we will make sure that you're not discriminated against when you as an individual seek health care on your own. But there's no guarantee that the government or the United States is going to give you health care. That's not a right. That's absurd. But we got Americans, too, that have felt or believed. Now that they have a right to health care.
Uh-huh.
That's why a lot of them are embracing Obama. Because, I got a right to, maybe you got a right to health care in Canada or Spain or England. You can go to those countries then. In this country, you earn your right to health care because you pay for it yourself. You go out and you work and you strive for it. And if you want it, you make sure you got the money to pay for it. And you, as the consumer, along with other consumers, have the power to control those prices because you can allow insurance companies to compete for your business. And that's where the benefit comes in of the independent individuals. You make these companies better compete for your business, and that's how the prices go down. And if you don't like what they're doing, then you essentially boycott them, and then their prices have to come down.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't sit there and you say, I have a right to health care. I'm going to sit here on my fat rear end, and you got to give me health care. That's part of the destruction of the United States. It's all distorted. It's been distorted. And that's sad and unfortunate. So I know I'm pounding the podium here a lot, but we have to realize this is not difficult. The simplicity lays right before you. It's just been confusing people with a lot of razzle-dazzle by politicians and special interest groups who want to confuse you and make you feel guilty. Because it just doesn't look good if I go to a public hearing and tell people you don't have a right to health care. It makes me look evil. It makes me look like I don't care. So people keep their mouth shut, and they don't go to these hearings. They sit back. When point in fact, somebody show me the constitutional right to health care. There is none.
No.
There's a guarantee that you will not be discriminated by anybody should you seek health care.
Yeah, we'll
see. But your health care is your business. That's what makes people independent. So this is part of the plan. It's been long and ongoing, but this is part of it. And this is part of that psychological guilt. Oh, I'm not going to speak up. What are they going to say if somebody calls me phobic? Or it looks like I'm evil because I don't support health care. This is what's going on. And people got to realize, before you know it, the word democracy will be erased from the American dictionary. It will be totally socialistic. Totally. And not in a good way. But it's up to the people. It's up to the people should they choose to remain free, independent, and unique in the world. I've been bending everybody's ear here and taking a lot of airtime. So anybody wish to rebut or comment, please do.
Well, there's all sorts of silly nonsense going on in the chat room, but I don't think any of them will have the courage to call in and say what they're saying in the chat room. They're just saying all sorts of silly stuff.
Well, let me hear what they say. Silly stuff. I'll gladly respond to them.
Let's see. Where do I start on this craziness out here? Let's see. One started out about when we were talking about the media not doing its job, saying that we were the media and that we were a bunch of hypocrites. Of course, I tried to explain to them this is talk radio. We are not a news association. We're not reporting. We're discussing the issue. So I'm not sure if they understood that part. And then they said, most Americans are Irish. And then they kept going back with nonsense about it. I said, are you an American?
How can I tell them that? Where's it most Americans are Irish? I didn't know that.
this poor soul out there is a little bit confused. Let's see. And then I hate people who say that they are Irish American, African American, what we were talking about. You can only be of one nationality. You can only be loyal to one nation.
I wouldn't want anybody to ignore their heritage. That's their right. That's the joy. That's the joy of it. You know, I don't go around saying I'm Italian American. I say I'm American.
Right.
But I grew up with parents who came here to this country.
Right.
And were humble that they came to this country. They respect the rule of law. They didn't say they wanted Italian as a second language, or I should say English as a second language, and I'm going to speak Italian in school. That's not what it is. We spoke Italian in the house, but when we're outside, we spoke English.
Right.
We interacted with our neighbors. We assimilated. They respected. They never forgot that they came from a country that was harder, was a very hard life, and they appreciated the freedoms and the joy of trying to flourish and grow, the opportunities that came with living in America. They respected that. There was none of this gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
And I remember as a child, and I have to bring this up because nowadays it's so accepted that some people think they have a right to it. Once again, another one of those delusional rights. Welfare years ago was shunned upon. If you had a neighbor who looked healthy and for some unbeknownst reason was on welfare, people looked at them and said, they don't deserve that. Why should they do that? And it wasn't called welfare then, it was called public relief. And it was temporary, but the idea was it was to help you get back on your feet. But since everybody else was struggling and they maintained on their feet, they weren't necessarily shunned, but people looked at them like, well, I don't think you deserve that because we don't have it, and we're living bread and water just like you because times were hard and certain times. But it got to such a point that now it's become a lifestyle. There are generations who grew up from the 70s on up, if you will, generations who lived on welfare and knew nothing else. And that's frightening. We've allowed that to happen in this country because peer pressure is what motivates people. When there's peer pressure, as there used to be, say, in the 50s and 60s, and that's 1950s, anybody listening, 1960s, peer pressure motivated you to go out there and get a job. Maybe even if you were compelled, under the worst case scenarios, to take that public relief or that welfare. Peer pressure made you feel guilty about it and made you feel, I'm going to do whatever I have to do, scrub floors, sweep the streets, whatever, so I can get off this welfare. And that's peer pressure is what motivated you to get off your butt and get out there and become a responsible citizen. Regardless of your hardships, it allows you to overcome them. Today we don't do that. Now we sympathize. We sit down and we do psychological evaluations and tell people it's okay to take welfare for how many years? 20, 30 years? Oh, that's okay. And so people accept it. And then it gets to a point where people say, oh, it's owed to me. I deserve it. And that's where we are right now. People think they deserve welfare, that they don't have to work. And we accept that. Once again, the psychological guilt. Because if you point your finger to somebody on welfare and tell them that they're wrong and they're undeserving and they should be like every other citizen and get out there and get a job, well, then people call you phobic or something else or some other name.
They usually call you a bad name.
Yeah, and they try to inflict guilt on you. And this is where we've gotten. And these are the results of all those years of...
Hey, I'll let you know a couple of comments out here, and then we also have a caller. A couple of comments. Well, we have the Irish and the Scottish are represented in the chat room. I said I was an American, and they wanted me to define what American. Then they asked if I was a Native American, and I said I was American. And so now they want to define what an American is. This is a high level of discussion that's going on in this chat room tonight. And then a silly comment. It is true that the Titanic was a cover-up. I mean, so the chat room, they can keep
Titanic. I can't get the connection of the Titanic with what we're talking about.
Well, there isn't any. That's really the point. this person's somewhat disconnected in their conversation.
If they're Irish or Scottish, they should be proud because they came here poor and they lived in poor neighborhoods, but they flourished. They didn't seek public assistance. They didn't seek anybody's help. They came and they flourished. The Irish have a fantastic history in this country of getting off their knees, you know, from the poverty of whence they came.
Right.
And struggling with nothing, with absolutely nothing, but the desire to grow and the help of their fellow neighbors. They have a fantastic record of not only did they grow as individuals, but they helped the country grow. They should be proud of that. And they should have wanted, through their own experience, they should have wanted to see their fellow neighbors do the same thing. Not their fellow neighbors sit there and say, oh, you flourish, you make money, and the taxes they take from your money will support me while I sit on my fat rear end.
No.
That's
no.
not America. That's not America. They should be proud of that. And the Irish flourished because they kept their traditions. They made sure their sons and daughters learned the same traditions that they learned, and it kept them growing. So, you know, granted, be proud that you're Irish. But you came here to be American also.
That's right.
And that should be your priority ingredient, because you can not only did you contribute to yourself and your generations, you contributed to the country and the growth of the country. And everybody who comes here should be thinking the same. Not coming to our land and telling us what we have to do. The Irish didn't do that. The Italians didn't do that. The Polish didn't do that. Do you notice another thing which I brought up in the past? Do you hear people speak of Italians or Irish or Polish or Germans anymore? No. We're all white Caucasians now.
Yeah.
We are white Caucasians. We are thrown into cattle cars.
We are Americans.
I've said this before. The United States government has been the primary individual. It's what I've called before administrative genocide. We don't have heritages no more. You barely hear anybody talk about the Polish or the Irish or the Germans or Italians. It's all white Caucasians. When they give you a census, it says white Caucasian. I never check none of those boxes. I always say other, because it's disgusting that I got to be now classified as a white Caucasian. You know, and I find that despicable. But this is part of the strip down, and you know, of attempting to strip us of our dignity, make us feel guilty, so on and so forth.
Yeah, they should not have on their blacks or Afro American or anything like. They should say, are you? You're an American.
Yeah.
Are you an American or what? You know, and then I'm saying, I'm an American with a Finnish background, but I'm an American. I was born in America. I'm a proud American.
Exactly.
I served my country. We served our country, and we, you know, we were in the military. We do what is right. We worked all our lives, and we are not getting welfare from anybody. We earned it. We paid into our Social Security. We did not sit on our butts and let somebody else pay our way through things. We did not get an EBT card or food stamps for years on years. We didn't have anybody paying for our apartments or homes or anything like that. We were not a burden on our fellow taxpaying Americans. Our fellow taxpaying Americans use their money for themselves, and we had to earn our own, because that's what a proud American does. We got a bunch of people in here who were actually born in America who really are not Americans. They live here. They have no idea of what it's like to work for a living. A lot of them are addicted to drugs because they don't know anything else, because the drug people got to them. But the whole thing is there are ways to get out of it and become an American. An American works. A scumbag doesn't do anything.
Let me just real quick, before I go to Nathan.
Okay.
Just real quick, an equation to the individual who brought up the word Titanic. You know, it's ironic you brought that up. We are on the Titanic, in essence. We are. We're on the Titanic right now, and we may have already hit that iceberg, and we're sinking, because we're a country that we thought would never collapse, would never fail. So it's ironic that you brought the word up, but in retrospect, we are on the Titanic. I just don't know how deep in the water we are yet.
50% deep in the water, because we're paying like 50% of the people are expecting money from the other taxpayers who are working. That's how close it is to getting sunk, because the other people are too damn lazy to go to work, and all of those who own the businesses would rather have their businesses sent to China and all that, so that the rich can get richer and they can shove the poorer further down. And that's why we're coming up with a socialist type of government, because so many people are forced to be not be able to work because of the greediness of Nike, Mattel, and all these companies that went out of the country.
Okay, I've had Nathan on hold for a while here, so let's go ahead and get Nathan into this discussion.
Hey, Nathan. Hey, everybody. The reason I called in, I was looking at your chat room, and there was some guy in there that said, you know, nothing wrong with free health care. Free health care is a good thing. Don't knock it till you tried it. I was wondering if where he came from, if they had free health care. I doubt they did, or his ascendants didn't come here because they had free health care there. They came here because of the life was better. If he's Irish, he came over here at the beginning of this country, or another strong wave came over here in the famine of 1948. So I doubt if he was bred and buttered here. He didn't. His ancestors didn't come here for what they could get. They came over here because of the opportunity that afforded them once they got here. And but anyway, on this thing, somebody mentioned Titanic. Now there is a theory out there that the Titanic was purposely sank because the three opposing bankers that were against the Federal Reserve was on that ship and perished. And some believe that it was a terrorist attack because when the captain who had sailed those waters for 29 years that night when he hit the iceberg, he had veered off course. And when his crew wanted to send up and this is documented, they wanted to send up a flare. He said a red flare, which alerted to other people that you were okay, it's just a party boat. A white flag would have said distress. So there's some theories that this was getting rid of the people that opposed it. On the phobias, listen. A phobia is something you have. It's not something someone gives you. If they give it to you, then it's slavery. If you like to play hide-and-seek as a child and your favorite spot was hiding in a cabinet or in the closet, you have no fear of that. But if someone puts you there against your will, you have a phobia of dark places or tight places. So when they start telling you you've got to think a certain way or behave a certain way, they're creating in you a fear that if you say something like you're a Native American, well, the Native Americans were the Indians that were originally here. But if your parents came over here, like you, Tom, your parents came over here and then you were born, you're a Native American in the truest sense, okay? But you are still of whatever heritage you are from. Me, I'm a mutt. If you live in the South, You've got some a black blood in you. You've got probably two or three mixtures of different types of Indian in you somewhere in your history. So I don't know why all of a sudden we got to treat people like they're a bunch of dogs, that we got to keep them pure to their breed. You know, this is just, they're creating slave minds. That's my opinion, and I approve of it.
Well, you're right, because it's in part of what I said too. They're generating unfounded guilt in people because they're saying we come here and this is what we want to do and this is what we want to change in this country, and if you don't like it, well, we're going to name call you and you got a phobia. And people are actually afraid to respond sometimes. But this is in part supported by the media, supported largely by the media. Because if a tree falls and no one's around to hear it, does it make a noise?
It did. We just didn't hear it.
Yeah. The fact is, though, the media is there to make everybody hear it. And instead of media turning around and saying, hold on, you came to this country to assimilate, and you're calling the people who live here phobic because they disagree with you? For the mere fact that they disagree with you? Who is the real phobia? Who's got the real phobia?
Well, you know, Tom, one of the biggest things about America that's real strong right now, and it's always been there, but it's real strong now, and that is you always got to become a part of a group. You got to be a part of, you know, it's a party, or if it's a religion, you got to be a part of a religion. They want to get you involved because the effectiveness of numbers helps you get what you're doing done more effectively. But the problem is once you identify with a group, you become a part of who they are and what they believe. But if there's some point that you disagree with, you know, if they don't give you the freedom to disagree, and this is why the Republican Party is dead, it's over, it can't work. because what they say they believe is not what they've done. And it's, you know, we know the Democrats, they have a majority because of a whole bunch of minorities. You know, every group that wants what they want can get that accomplished in the Democrats. Now we got Alan West. He's trying to get Democrats to vote Republican because the Republicans are hurting for numbers. But what do you do when you get disgruntled Democrats voting you? You just move the Republican Party more to the left, which means not only is the Republican Party not conservative, but Alan West is losing his honor and integrity that he maintained throughout his military career. He's the one that said that there's socialists in the Democrats. Why would you want them to come over without some kind of a vetting of what they believe? You know, and this is. But, you know, it's all about be getting on board and not getting on board for what you believe. And if a group can determine what you're supposed to believe, you have nothing to do with it, any party or group or any person, because that is slavery, you know. Period. Let me tell you about the Republicans. Did you know from this date all the way back to the Great Depression, the Democrats have always made the company, the social issues, federal laws, and the Republicans have always yelled, that's a states' rights issues, but to date, they have never done one thing to challenge it back to the states. So we don't want to be a Republican. You want to just vote your conscience. And quit that these people in this chat room are sitting here talking about sheeple. I agree with that.
Right, that's what we have become. That's why I put the comment out there, the so-called free health care is for we the sheeple.
Well, who pays for that free health care? Who pays for that free health care?
The taxpayers.
Well, that's exactly it. Well,
then it ain't free.
The yeah.
Then it ain't free.
No.
What about the guy that's getting it for free? Does he realize that?
No. Well, a lot of them don't, because when they come to this country and they seem to think that, oh, the government's going to give me this stuff. Anything that they get from the government in any way, shape, or form comes from the working taxpayer, the working citizen who gets up in the morning and goes to work and gets a paycheck. Those are the people who pay the taxes. It does not come out of President Obama's pocket. It doesn't come out of out of our elected officials. It comes out of your neighbor who is going to work. It's coming out of that girl who works in the grocery store collecting your money for the groceries. It's coming out of the taxi driver, the bus drivers, all the school teachers. They're paying taxes. It's coming out of everybody who works in America, and it's going to these freeloaders who are on welfare, who are too damn lazy to get off their butt and go get a job. And a lot of them I blame because they're afraid to go out and get a job, or they don't have any brains to get a job because they didn't go to study anything in school. But then there is also one other person that has screwed this country big time, and that is Nike shoes, Mattel toys, and a lot of car manufacturers that decided to make their cars overseas. And the television companies are all overseas instead of in the United States of America, so people in America can work.
But
how does that contribute to the Amerophobia that we have out there?
The people who hate this country, that they're here?
Nike. What the things that Nike and them are doing, how does that How do those things impact or create more of the Amerophobia? And I mean, I sometimes think it does because, you know, people act like, well, you know, we're asking them to make our goods because we're too good to have to do that work ourselves.
I don't know if it's a phobia, but I know that they overpriced their shoes. And you see, especially we had a problem here, I guess it was a couple months ago, they had a certain amount of shoes that was going to be in a store at the Florida Mall, and people went down there and they got a long line, and they're paying more than what it was worth, and a lot of the people that were going to buy them were going to take them home and put them on eBay to sell them for an auction. And I don't know if that would be a phobia, but it would be generating a lack of, I don't know what it would be, a patience. You know, we got to have it now. Go stand in a long line for a pair of shoes. And then if you're going to put them on eBay, you're exploiting people who've got to have something, you know, as if it's when, you know what, the truth is, you pay $1,000 for $100 pair of shoes, it doesn't say anything other than how stupid you are.
That's
so,
right.
You know, I don't know if that's a phobia, but I'd be scared to be around people that dumb.
That's right. Well, the phobias are, wouldn't you say that the dislike for this country would be the owners of Nike who moved all of their stuff overseas so that Marcy Kapker,
no, we're getting away from the meaning of phobia now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, phobia is simply a fear, but one thing I've noticed about fears is a fear is something you can generate, or but if someone else generates it in you, you know, you can, like, for instance, let's say, you know, you have fear that you don't know where your next meal's coming from, and that causes you to hoard food. And you know, that food is, that fear is created by something, and this is the key. That fear helps you choose. It chooses how you're going to live. That emotion, and that's all it is an emotion. It's a feeling, but that fear, even if it is based in fact or not based in fact, it is a feeling that you are acting on. But once you, it's like you can watch a scary movie and be scared to go to sleep with the lights off, even though there's no, in reality, there's no monster in your room. But the fear makes you want to sleep with the lights on. So your fear is causing you to live irrationally. But the thing is this is the key about a fear. If someone else caused that fear in your life, like you fear that you can't discuss racial issues and can maybe contribute to the answer, you fear you can't give your opinion on something because you might get dubbed a certain person, then that's slavery. You should be able to challenge someone's thinking, and maybe if you're wrong, be corrected, but the fear that you're going to start a riot or you're going to get arrested, what you've done is you chose to fear an issue over free speech, you know, and what you will fear will be what becomes, what ends up ruling you, you know?
I go back to Tom. You going to go ahead with that? I was going to say, I was just going to go back to what Tom was saying. And to me, the example, the Muslims come to this country. Why do you come here if you don't believe in what the culture is here and you don't want to live under this culture? And then from that point on, the attack is on us, like we're the ones who are rejecting them, when in fact they're rejecting us.
Well, the Second Amendment, no, you can't make any law respecting or denying religion, okay?
First
They've
Amendment.
They've already, that's a what?
First Amendment.
First,
I'm sorry. But anyway, you can't, right there says right there, you know, that they refuse to live by our Constitution because that is what they're doing. They're saying their religion is law. It is the judge, it's the judicial system, it's the and law enforcement. Their religion rules everything, and that is not freedom of religion. And it is respecting one religion, making it a state religion, government-sponsored or government-endorsed religion. So you know what? Right there, they have to either renounce their religion, and they won't, but you know what? It's not a religion. It's not a religion. What religion? What religion? It's a law, or it's a government doctrine that is for the purpose of ruling or conquering countries.
Yeah.
So it's
Sharia,
not a religion. And,
Sharia
and
means
this
law. The
and
word
this
Sharia
is
law.
Yeah, but what? This is why the GOP has lost its credibility. They want to save America, but they, from 9/11 till this point right now, they have been up there, and they have allowed this to get to the point that it's at now. And
right.
And so for them to say that they're the ones that needs to be in there to deal with these issues, they've already proved that they're not interested in dealing it. And the reason is, truthfully, the GOP is full of socialists.
So is the Democrat.
Yeah.
George Washington said George Washington said the two parties are going to divide the country, and they have divided we the people. We now have Democrats and Republicans. And boy, I'll tell you what, all of this stuff that we're talking about, the phobia and all that, is caused by this division, because the Democrats want certain things. They want freebies. The Republicans don't want to pay for it. That's basically what it comes up.
Well, what my biggest thing with both parties is they have purposely uneducated people. The primaries in the Constitution is not there for the purpose of only two parties to establish who's going to represent their parties. Another thing that we've heard a lot that is a real big lie, and it's been echoed a lot since the 2010 election, and that is we got to take things over from the local level and you get in at this county commission and all that and get it run for mayor, local, and take it back on a local level. That's trash. That's trash because the stronghold is at the top. If you run for city council and they decide – one of the parties decide they like you, they're going to pour money into you, they're going to have the big guys come down here and stand on the stage with you. Yeah, you know what? The stronghold's at the top. And that's why I say the farmers need to run for the big offices in
that's
Washington
right.
and in Tallahassee, because that is a lie. They are the ones that endorses and funds you if they like you and they want you. You see
right.
that locally here with some of these politicians like Todd Long that just keeps running and keeps running and keeps running, and he just can't make the Republican Party happy enough with him to say, okay, come on board. He hasn't done something right, you know?
He hasn't kissed their butt.
Well, I'll actually go, again, going back to the Amerophobia stuff here. I personally believe, and Tom, jump in on this, I believe the two parties are, in fact, Amerophobes. They are anti-American, especially in the way they behave and the things they do.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I agree. They're the ones that's creating this fear, and they're doing it at the top, not at the bottom. Did you see that thing I sent you? I don't want to get too far off your subject, but that thing I sent you with all the people that signed on to Agenda 21?
I saw the email. I haven't gone and taken a close look
at it.
Okay,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's all of our Tea Party endorsed candidates. So, Daniel Webb.
Yeah, we need to keep pushing to the GO process, because the GO process is one where the average American can qualify to get on the ballot. And once we start doing that, and if we get this, and if Sally and I get this, we the people complain out there more, and more people start getting behind it, then we'll be able to do something there, too, because technically we do have illegal monopolies operating in this country, and it's called the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. And they are both and we will really find out if we have a separation of powers.
Well, on the phobia thing with the GO, one of the things I've noticed, most of the people that are running through GO are Republicans. They're doing it under the Republican thing. There's, again, I think it's a fear that to be an independent, you're not going to get acknowledged, even with GO promoting you. And because once you get in there, you got to become a part of that team. And
Nathan, that's really not quite the way it is. I don't want to get into too much of the GO process right now. I want to get back to the key subject. But the point with GO, they tell you it's a strategy. You run under whoever the incumbent is. You're going to try and run against the incumbent in the primary because you have to knock them out of the primary. And so if the incumbent happens to be a Democrat, then you run as a Democrat. If they're a Republican, you run as a Republican. So that's really what the basic philosophy is.
Yeah.
How do you best think you can go? Because GO is truly not nonpartisan.
Yeah, but I'm saying once they get up there, then that's when they're going to get the test.
Yeah.
Well, that's true with the Tea Parties and everything else. One, GO attempts to do a different type of vetting, and so the key to me with GO is that you're being vetted by the people of your district, not a political party.
Again, going back to the phobia thing, one of the things that the national Tea Party groups like Tea Party Express, Nation, Patriots, all these Tea Party groups that were founded by the Republican Party with buses going across, they created that fear because there was thousands of people running for office
right.
that never got heard in the 2010 because they created this fear that, you know, this doctor or this plumber or this whatever truck driver that's running, you know, maybe he needs to start at the bottom and work his way up, because I don't know if he's ready for Senate or Congress. And it created a lot of fear in people that, well, maybe we need to reelect these same old people again, because they do know the process, and they're up there, and it's like this thing with Dave Weldon that there's a big thing now. We got to get him in there because he's the only one that can beat him. But I keep saying he lied, and so don't make me fear that we have to have him. You know, we don't have to have him. There's people that move off of the scene for whatever reason in every realm of life. And you know what? Everything does not shut down. And we got here, and Mitt Romney's got to win because he knows, he understands the economy because he's a rich. But you know what? One man isn't in control of the economy. The man in the White House does not, the whole economy doesn't hinge on it. The Congress is charged in the Constitution with managing or governing the economy, but it creates a fear. People fear that if we get new people in there, maybe they're not up to it.
Well, no, I mean, again, I'll go back to what I said, and then Tom, I need you to jump in here. The based on the definition of Amerophobic, whatever. The two parties are, in fact, Amerophobic organizations. They go out there and I hear it every single time. If we don't vote for Romney, then we got to vote for him because we can't elect anybody else. I mean, we have to vote because he's the Republican and the other one's a Democrat. We just have to do that. I mean, I hear these people running scared. And so the two political parties are a major part of the Amerophobe we deal with, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, that's like a good point.
I keep hearing this a lot, and I've offended a couple of people, not intended to, but I'm like, why are you talking to me like a slave? When you tell me if I vote for a third party or I stay out, that is a vote for Obama. Wait a minute, neither one of them got my vote. Rather I voted third party or rather I stayed home, that is one less vote either one of them got. So how is it that you're telling me I have to vote for Obama? Well, if I have to vote for Romney, then that means I don't have a vote. You own it. You determine that I'm who I'm supposed to vote for. You're talking to me like a slave. And that, what is a slave? A slave is fear in his mind first and then in his feet. He votes with his feet. And I'm saying, you know, if he gets in there, he gets in there. It doesn't matter which one gets, if either one of these people win, it doesn't matter, because, you know what, I'm not going to live with my conscience knowing, one, I put this guy there, and two, it's against everything I believe. That is what the whole Constitution is about, is my freedom. I haven't got freedom if I have to vote for who you think I should. You know what I'm saying? That's you're right. Both of them are telling, and they did the same thing. Obama and I thank God there's enough people in America that don't bow down to this stuff, because it's anyone but Obama now, but it was anyone but W in the 08 election. But you know what? It doesn't matter. There still wasn't enough people that were willing to buy into it to go and vote for John McCain and John McCain's policy in a skirt, Sarah Palin. The reason we had a razor thin 2000 election, and every election has had less people stay home as a result, the reason these people are falling out is because they're not bowing down. This is why the Republican Party is doing everything they can to make you think that we can't afford four more years of Obama. But guess what? Every policy that Obama has, Mitt Romney has, but he says, I don't want to talk about the local, the social issues. Well, no, these are political issues that he put in place as a governor.
Hello?
So they're doing it.
Yeah, I'm listening. I'm listening. I mean, what I was trying to bring out, and it's hard to, you know, I don't know if it's more of a psychological ploy than a phobia when the government does it, but Nathan did bring out some good points when either side, for that matter, says, oh, if you don't vote for the Republican or Democrat, then the other guy's going to win. It's a way of making you feel guilty. Like, if you want to vote for a third party, they're going to tell you, oh, the third party guy's going to lose. Your vote is for Obama if you vote for the third party. So they make you try to make you feel guilty to vote for them.
But there's no law in the Constitution, and I know they're not living by it, but I am. There's no law in the Constitution that says that the party is the direction of the party is supposed to be divided up or wrestled over between two groups of people. The majority of Americans, you know, you look at Iraq whenever they had their elections, almost every individual in that society that was legal age to vote went down there and stuck their little purple or blue finger up in front of the camera. They were excited to vote. We have, what, less than 5% of our population is registered to vote?
Well,
okay, and of that 5% or whatever it is, only half of what it – I mean, there's a handful of people deciding, and the reason is if – and, you know – I don't blame a guy that wants to stay home. In order for me to have a vote, I've got to jump onto one of these parties and what they stand for, and they do not, between the two of them, they do not represent the majority of Americans. This is what Americans want, and most of them are living it. They want to live their life the way they want to do it. They have the freedom. I don't care how I don't care if my neighbor wants to call his fishing buddy his wife. That's none of my business. He has the freedom to live the way he wants. He has the freedom to go be religious or whatever religion. I don't have to agree with it, but I can't go down there and knock on his door and tell him he needs to stop. He has the same freedoms I got, and it's called be independent and govern myself and not hurt other people, not break the law and run red lights or steal rob banks.
On the other hand, they can't legislatively compel you to like that person.
No.
You should still have that freedom of choice without being called any bizarre type of name or phobic. You should have that choice. Your elected officials should not be compelling you through legislative means or other administrative means of regulating your life and say, well, you have to like this person.
Well, if they make a law, Tom, that says I have to like you,
even though
I disagree with you, then what I just did is I gave up my right to have the same rights you have, because I'm forced to like you when I don't really care for you. Guess what? That means I have to like you and you don't have to like me.
But they do that in so many different aspects. They do it in so many different distorted ways that, you know, and then you don't respond in kind because other people, with the cooperation of the media, are calling you names.
Something that happened one time, I read a book by Just As I Am by Billy Graham many, many years ago when he first wrote it. He said in this book, and this blew a lot of people's minds, he said in his book that he went down to Mexico for a weekend to visit. This was back during the 60s, during the racial issues. And he met with Martin Luther King Jr. to discuss, you know, the racial tensions in America, and Billy Graham asked him, what can I do to help you out in your movement in the South? He was talking about, like, maybe sermons and, you know, commercials or whatever. And he goes, told Dr. Graham, I really don't have a problem, that much of a problem with the racial issue in the South. My problem is the racial issue in the North. You see, all the light was on the South and what was going on in the South, but he said the blacks and the whites in the South, while it's not right, they are living together. Yeah, the blacks go to the back door, but they live, to some degree, they live with each other. The one person knows his place, and the other person knows his place in culture, and that needs to be challenged. But the problem was in the North, where the blacks were completely forgotten. Diseases and starvation in the inner cities. And you know what? It was a completely different issue in the North. And you know, the thing is, that what I want to point out too is you leave people alone, and you know what? They'll get along. It might take a while for them to be able to bring have their minds changed to bring each other up to a mutual respect. But it happens. It happens. And but you can't force people to do it, because you end up forcing one person to go to the other extreme that the other person was at. And that's what I guess what they call the balkanization of America.
Well, that's where we are now.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you know, we're still far more too separated than we are integrated. So,
yeah.
I mean, we got to realize that. And that's because we don't treat each other. And I mean both sides don't treat each other as equals. You know, and that's just the bottom line. It doesn't happen. And that, in part, once again, is media responsibility on how you report the facts. And the media in kind should sit there. And if either party, I don't care, in this case you're talking blacks and whites, if either party is talking racist, you shut them down.
Yeah.
You don't run your cameras. You don't keep the cameras rolling and let them hear one side but not the other. If either side is talking racism, don't need to hear that.
Yeah, and where they've done it with this with the Hispanics is they've made they changed the, you know, if you are breaking a law and you say something to someone who's breaking a law, then they throw out the, well, because of his race. No,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. He ran across the border. He's illegal. Oh, it's because he's, but the problem is, it's not little short white nuns running across the borders illegally. It's but they want to use that because, you know what, it creates a hate, not necessarily first towards the guy that's breaking the law, but he learns to hate you for saying obey the law. He's already taught. Once that's brought up, he's already taught that he not the government, but he can use that. And once you teach somebody he can use it, then it just spreads among people.
Well, but see, but that's part of it. You go to a public hearing about illegal immigration, and you go up there as a citizen of this country, and you say, I don't approve of illegal immigration. And then some Hispanics going to turn around and say, why? Because we're Hispanic? Are you racist? And who is the camera going to pick up on? They're not going to pick up on your words. All you're saying is illegal is wrong. I don't want illegal people coming into this country. We're not a country of 50 people. We got over 300 million. I think we should have a right to choose by now. People keep talking about the words on the Statue of Liberty. I don't see anything on the Statue of Liberty that says, bring me your illegals. There's nothing on it. But everybody loves to quote. All those pro-illegal love to quote the Statue of Liberty and try to do it in your face. But there's nothing on it that says, bring me all your illegal people, you know, so they can sneak in the country and live off our tax dollars for free. I don't see nothing on there about that, but nobody talks about that. Because if I was at a public hearing and brought that up, the cameras wouldn't focus on me. They'd focus on the reaction. And all I'm saying is, I don't approve of illegals. Why should I? Illegal is illegal is illegal. The discussion is so simple. But we've made it complicated because we've allowed profiling to go on. If I go and disagree on illegal immigration, I'm being profiled. Suddenly I'm a racist. And not I'm a racist because it's Hispanics coming over. But is it my fault? And research has shown, is it my fault that 76% or more of the people coming over our southern border is Hispanic? That's not my fault. Listen to what I'm saying, because it's important. We are being attacked from within. And our media is the one doing it. They're trying to inflict the guilt on us. You got a minority coming here illegally trying to inflict guilt on us, so they can get passed laws that will now suddenly say illegal is no more illegal. You know, that's ridiculous. What happened to me as an American taxpaying citizen? If I don't want illegal, I'm the one who should be heard, not the undocumented. And that's another thing, too. When did people who come over illegal have the same constitutional rights that I do? You see what I'm saying? Guilt. These are Amerophobics. These are people who come here with an intent and a purpose. to destroy this country from within for self-serving reasons. This is not about loyalty to America or nationality or anything else relating to America. This is to come here with one intent, destroy this country. And that's it. So we can live the way we want to live and America be damned.
Well,
and by God, if they don't stand up and do something, I don't know what's going to be left.
Hey, hold on a second. Let me just mention one thing real quick here. Tom, I mentioned this to you the other day when we were talking about this. I went out there and I double-checked. MSNBC Newsflash, this is by Kyle Drennan, April 26, 2010. Arizona law, in quotes, makes it a crime to be an illegal immigrant.
Yeah,
this is the media
you
for you.
How stupid is that? We've gotten to the point. They have so artistically and psychologically destroyed some people's brains to make them think that illegal is not illegal. And this is what, and your listeners too. Did you hear what Sally said? They actually wrote that. You know, say it again, Sally, because it bears repeating. Say it again, because people need to know how they're being psychologically manipulated.
Arizona law makes it a crime to be an illegal immigrant.
Well, illegal is a crime already, people. Wake up!
But if you heard that, and you are illegal, that will hurt you. Now, it makes sense to you that if you're illegal, well, I guess if it's if they're going to make robbing a bank a crime, as if it's okay to, it was okay already to rob a bank, you see the lack of reasoning there? That is why if you join a group with any cause, you have to get, you have to become a part of just a handful of people defining what their goal is. And I found that, you know, I can't be a part because I'm. They want people that will not think through, or if you can live with most of it, then you know can buy into the other part of it. And you know, well, they're creating people that can't think. But
as it relates to the illegal immigration, this is, and people got to think about this. They got to think about this carefully. What they're doing right now, what Obama has done, is a despicable act. He's taking the young illegal immigrants and he's hiding behind them, just like somebody who's a hostage taker would hide behind a child, who would take that child and hide behind him to protect themselves. This is what he's done. He's saying, look at these children now. Oh, you wouldn't hurt these poor children. Come on, look at them. They're innocent children. Well, unfortunately, they're not innocent children, and it's not of their own doing. It's of their parents' doing. But because they like to throw Amerophobic at us, they want to make us feel guilty if we object to allowing illegal children to stay here because they're children, and he's hiding behind children. But we must look at it in its proper perspective. If their parents, and you just use the example of a bank, if their parents, if any parents robbed a bank, and let's say they took $50,000 out, and now their children are living off that $50,000, they're buying clothes, maybe a car, maybe preparing to go to college, should they benefit of those poison fruits that were stolen by their parents? No. And when they accept that and they take that money, they are accessories to the crime. And
so there's
the
no rule.
These people, these children, as he loves, as he's done in a despicable performance, political performance, these children, granted, it was not their direct fault that they came here illegally, but they have to answer along with their parents. They should be not looking at you and me, the taxpayers, for retribution and clarification. They should be looking at their parents and saying, why did you do this to me? Why did you take me here illegally? Why did you do this? Why did you destroy my potential future? No, but see, it's misdirected towards you and me to make us feel guilty. This is part of Amerophobia. Make us feel guilty for the illegal performances of others. This is all played out. This is not something that's just happening, you know. This ain't shoot from the hip. This is all planned out. And what he did with these children was a despicable performance, because now he's trying to hide behind the children to garner votes and garner support. Who is going to object to innocent children? If you do, well, you're a horrible racist person. You know, you must have a phobia. Can't anybody see this? You know, this is Psychology 101. This is ABC stuff.
It is. Most definitely is. Nathan, you there?
Yeah, there's nothing I can disagree with him about. But yeah, it's I heard on the Arizona thing. I heard somebody say that both sides are claiming victory. You know,
yeah.
Jan Brewer, in my view, this is just my opinion. She's not all the conservative Tea Party type. I think all this shaking her finger in Obama's face is all just, you know, theater. It's not real. She's out there too. She's a part of that. But you can't. Both of them can't win. Both of them can't win. In the end, we're gonna get what they want. They're gonna get their. The thing I don't like is, Obama keeps getting in trouble or getting all the press on the gay marriage and on the illegal immigration, but nobody will talk about Mitt Romney's four sanctuary cities the same way they wouldn't talk about Sarah Palin's two sanctuary cities and all the goodies for the illegals. They just throw it off on the Democrats. The Democrats are the ones that's putting these trains in all across America, but it's the Republicans that it's their policy and they're working on it, twisting. But you know what? It keeps us fussing. It keeps us fussing on which one we think is the best party or the best candidates, and in the end, they both win because they're one up there.
Well, I say this tongue in cheek, but maybe there is a solution to this. Maybe we should have affirmative action in elected office, because that's what we need. We're getting too many lawyers. We're not getting no electricians, no plumbers, no garbage men, no street sweepers, no painters. We're not getting none. We need affirmative action. We need a quota system that compels certain people to go to run for office, because when you get too many of the same ilk, too many of the same people who seek power, ambition, who are totally out of touch with America, this is what you get. We got people out there, they're all totally, and I mean totally out of touch. I don't care if it's a congressman, senator, the president, you know, these people are out of touch with the real America. You need people who live day to day in America and know exactly what the concerns are. We fail to recognize these people because they don't have college degrees, you know, or they may not speak as well, but how do we know they don't think as well? How do we know that their experiences can't make America be reborn and go in the right path? We don't.
But the problem, this is the thing about leadership. Leadership, a leader isn't born, he's cornered. And most of these people up there, they've never had a situation that define them where they got cornered in a situation and they just responded and realized that they've got a gift implanted by them, by God, and in their training and upbringing that makes them a leader. And these people up there, they were born into it. They were groomed for it. That's why when these people make mistakes and they do something substandard, you never hear them admit they were wrong.
They're not leaders. You know, just because you get elected into an office doesn't certify you as a leader. I always personally believe a leader is inherent. It's in you. Nobody can teach you to be a leader. They can teach you to pose as a leader and pretend. And I think probably 95% of what we got in elected office is that, somebody posing and pretending. But point in fact, I think we have very few leaders up there, because a real leader would focus on the job, not focus on enriching himself. He would actually stand up. Like if what Obama just did with overriding the immigration laws and saying, I'm not going to deport any more children. or what he did today when the Arizona decision came down and it said that the Arizona police can still arrest these people. He went out and told his people at ICE to be non-responsive to the Arizona enforcement people should they call and say, we have somebody here we arrested, and they don't have paperwork.
Yeah, but you see what they did when they said...
Listen, he's taking the law, and he's distorting it, and he's not enforcing it. He has an obligation. He has a designed and specific obligation to uphold the laws. He has no authority whatsoever, at least in the United States that I used to live in, no authority whatsoever to say, do not enforce these laws. He can't do that. And the failure, what I'm trying to get to with the lack of leadership is, both the Senate and the House is sitting there comatose. They should be out there in a bipartisan fashion, standing in front of the White House and demanding that this man enforce the laws, because he has no legislative authority, and his executive authority is limited. And this is what I find despicable. These people should have been out there in force. Every single one of them, 535 of them, should have been out there calling a press conference and say, this man, this despicable individual, has no right whatsoever to stop enforcing the laws. He's sworn oath to uphold the laws of his country. So there are no leaders up there. Even if one man came up today and said that, I would have said, there's a leader. You have none. You have people posing as leaders. That's why this country is on the verge of collapse.
Well, part of this law out there is structured to produce that dumbing down in people, because when they said, you know, you can pull someone over for a taillight out but you can't pull them over just because you think I need to check his legal status. But
yeah,
if he's speeding, runs a red light,
also,
you can pull him over. But listen, they did that same thing with the
seatbelt law. You know, listen, I'm not talking about the Arizona side of the law.
Yeah.
Because the decision came down where they can still pull them over, and should they find, when they do pull them over, this individual has no documentation relating to be a resident in this country, they then can call the federal organizations such as ICE and stuff to collect these people. And that's part of the directive from the Supreme Court. What Obama did today, shortly after that came down, he said that his immigration individuals, enforcement, such as ICE, will be non-responsive should Arizona call them and say, we are now abiding by the Supreme Court decision and we arrested these people, we found that they're undocumented. He said they will be non-responsive. The federal enforcement will be non-responsive. He cannot do that. The law stands. The law stands. It's not even a debate. The law stands. And the Supreme Court said that the federal people have to take these people into custody. And now Obama's just turned around while the paperwork is still fresh on people's tables. And he's saying, we will be non-responsive. You know, it's another way of saying, I will not enforce the law that the Supreme Court just said I have to enforce.
He just said
where's the 535 lowlifes who are supposed to be up there representing the people? They're nowhere. I'm telling you, we sit here, we debate, we articulate, we try to intellectualize with a hope and a prayer that this country will remain afloat, and we have nothing. We're becoming our own worst enemy. We're under our own self-imposed illusion. I see nothing here that shows me this is the country that it once was.
Well, Obama just proved when he said that there is no Supreme Court, there's no Congress. It's only him, and he caused the shots. And you know what? Evidently, that's true, because you got 12 people that represent all of Congress, and then even the people you voted for that goes up there, they're not a part of the debate. They just get to throw their vote down when it's needed. So they're really not up there doing anything but collecting a paycheck. But they did that same thing that dumbed down the Florida seatbelt law, where they said, okay, we're going to pass a law, you got to wear a seatbelt, but we're not going to pull you over for that. But if we pull you over because you were speeding and you don't have your seatbelt on, then we're going to give you a ticket. But if a cop pulls you over and he likes your attitude and he wants to give you a break instead of giving you a ticket for speeding, he gives you a ticket for not wearing your seatbelt, which has no points. It's just a fine. You're happy. But the cop is supposed to enforce the law, not be a judge and make a judgment that I'm going to give you a break. So I've always thought when they before they changed it that if I ever got pulled over for speeding and he gave me a ticket for wearing my I would go to court and say, Your Honor, he pulled me over only for not having my seatbelt on. He can't do that. But you see, what it does is it just whacks the whole entire order of the way things are supposed to run as far as the branches of government, which means when you get pulled over, you're grateful you didn't get a ticket, even though you had your seatbelt on. I'm going to say you didn't. I'm going to give you a ticket. It's only cash. But you don't know how the...
You're missing the point. You're missing the point there. You just stepped over the whole point we're trying to talk about.
No, I know. I think I do see the point.
You're missing the point for the simple fact that, in my opinion, it's unconstitutional to tell me to wear a seatbelt. Because the wearing of that seatbelt will only affect me and nobody else. It has nothing to do like drunk driving or anything. It will not affect any of my passengers or nothing if I, the driver, let's say, does not wear a seatbelt. Now we have people in government, and this is similar to your health care, if you will. They are telling me what is best for me. And if my wearing or not wearing of a seatbelt has nothing to do or will not affect anybody but me, that is my chosen right. And we've allowed that. We've sat here passively and allowed them to pass a seatbelt law that's unconstitutional.
But what I'm saying is the reason they can do that.
We're talking about something else. Sally, would you get any comments in your comment box there?
No, the chat room has kind of dried up some, so there's not too much going on over there. Charlie, he's been awfully quiet. Charlie, are you going to chime in on this?
No, I'm doing good. I'm listening.
Sally, can I finish making my point, Sally?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, what I was trying to say is, I agree with you on the seatbelt and the helmet laws. These are the states. The people should be the ones that decide. But what I'm saying is the way they made the law that you have to wear a seatbelt, but we're not going to enforce it. But if you're speeding and we catch your seatbelt on, which all you're going to do if you're not wearing your seatbelt is reach over there with your arm and pull it over and put it on before he gets up to your car. So it's just a game. But what I'm saying is people learn the way government works based on what they are living. And the thing is, I was speeding. The cop pulled me over. I'm glad he gave me a ticket for not wearing my seatbelt, even though I was wearing my seatbelt, but I don't have any points on my license. Great. But the problem is we just learned how government works, and the cop is not the judge. He is the enforcement of the law, and we're just happy we didn't get points on our license. So they've taught us how government works, and it doesn't work that way. They've educated people, and this is why we don't know how government works. I'll give you a good example of this one. Florida Supreme Court said Terry Schiavo could not eat. And Jeb Bush made a law that says, yes, Terry's law says she can eat. Well, it goes to Congress, and that should have been where it stopped because the Constitution says she has life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay, so they say no, send it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court says send it back to the state court, and the state court said she doesn't eat. It was a month later, Jeb Bush in the state of Florida took some property from a guy down in the Everglades, and he's having a press conference whenever the court case had ruled, and the only thing he could say is, but the Constitution allows us to take it. Well, which one is the law here? Is it the courts, the law, or the Constitution? We don't know.
This goes to what Charlie's opened up with talking about fiduciary duties. You know, if these people met their obligated duties and their responsibilities to the people, then you and I wouldn't be having this discussion about Terry Schiavo or eminent domain or anything else where they abuse the laws. We keep forgetting, because we do, and the people listening and us talking here, we have a very, very real sense of how government operates or doesn't operate. And we've always said, I'm sure everyone's always agreed, that the government is not operating in the best interest of the people, probably hasn't for decades. You know, this isn't something that's been new. I've been watching this for years. and objecting to what I see around me. You know, so, you know, but this goes back to the duties and obligations that Charlie was talking about in the beginning.
But, you know,
well,
it ties in.
The other thing, too, excuse me, let me get something in here. The other, going back to what you're talking about with the seatbelt, that was truly the beginning, or one piece of this beginning of the end routine of the government's going to tell us what's best for us. That's when we stop being individuals responsible for ourselves. We're going to have a government that's constantly telling us everything that we're supposed to do. 16-ounce soft drinks now, and no cigarettes, even though they're legal to smoke, and all this other crap, but which is totally unconstitutional. It's the pursuit of happiness. It's not; those are not illegal items, and you shouldn't. And I totally agree with you when it comes to the seatbelts. Yeah, if you got a kid, okay. If they have a law saying the kid has to be constrained in the back and all that kind of stuff, because the child doesn't know what to do, they can't make its own decision. The child doesn't know how to make their own decision. I understand that something there protecting the child from an idiot parent.
but in the end, Sally, in the end, a lot of people miss this. It was one of my rants when it happened, but. In the end, when it happened, the reason we got the final full seatbelt law that you can get pulled over for only that, and it was a completed, fully seatbelt law, whenever Obama said to the governor, you have to, Charlie Crist, you have to pass the seatbelt law or you're not getting your transportation money. And so they passed the law. Well, there again, people don't learn how we're learning how they want us to think that it works. We have to do what the federal government says about seatbelts or helmets or anything else. If we don't, we don't get the money. Well, whatever happened to states' rights? Why can't the Florida citizens decide that?
Stop taking the federal money for education. Get the federal government out of education. Let the state take care of it. You're absolutely right. It's a state issue. It's not a federal issue. But
yeah, and you know, John Micah wasn't opposing that. John Micah wasn't opposing that seatbelt law. Now, if he wanted it, that's one thing, but he should have been telling the state legislature, y'all need to pass this, not him being a part of us not getting our money, because John Micah is the one that put that together for for Obama. But John Micah should have been saying, no, President Obama, this is not, this is a state's right issue. Let the citizens of Florida decide if they want to wear their seatbelt. You know, or
right.
If it should be allowed. But you see, again, well, you know, the average person that's not following politics, they learn the way it works. And the problem is, once they learn the way it works, one day it works some way other different way, and then they're confused. But they just learn to follow, do what someone tells you to do. We're in trouble because it's confusion.
Well, yep, I would totally agree with that. Well, we are getting down to the last 3 minutes, and. Tom, I want to let you go ahead and get one more spiel out there, because we got to promote America is under attack by the Amerophobes, because that's really what it is.
Well, that's the bottom line, as I said, and to your listeners, too. You write opinions about stuff that you feel are being instrumentally done wrong in this country. Use the word. Point them out to the people, if it's the Islams or whoever. And I don't want to focus just on them. If they're Amerophobics, then write it in your opinion. If you speak to the media, the press, you do an interview over something where you feel what's happening in your neighborhood is unjust, and you're being called names because of that, well, don't be ashamed. Go back and look at them and say, well, they're the Amerophobes. I live here. It's my culture, my beliefs. I'm following the rule of law, and they are the Amerophobics, not me. We got to get the word out there. You got to combat them with the same thing they're doing. I know people are going to say, oh, name-calling's not right and so on, but... I'm doing this for a reason. I want to see just how much we can get the word out there. I want to see if the media, in fair and balanced methods, is actually going to report both sides of the story, because they eat up all these other phobia attacks. They love it when people name call the basic American citizen and call them racist or phobic or something like that. And all the person is doing is say, well, I disagree. And you have a right to disagree. You shouldn't be force-fed other people's ways of life. I want to see, and that's why I think we should get the word out there. We are being attacked. We brought up numerous examples tonight. We're being attacked. It's an Amerophobic attack of a massive proportion to make you feel guilty and to silence you from opposition. So people get out there. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah, stop being ashamed of being an American.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. They're trying to make you feel guilty for being American. And if something is illegal, then say it's illegal. And don't be bothered if somebody don't let somebody make you feel guilty because they're calling you a racist. You're not being a racist. Illegal is illegal.
Exactly.
You know, and turn around and tell them you're Americophobics. You hate this country. You want to destroy this country. You're Americophobics, and I, as an American, will not tolerate that. Don't be shy. Stand up for once, please, America. Stand up again.
Exactly. Well, on that note, we're down just a few seconds here. Thank you so much for that, Tom. It was interesting, and yes, I'm definitely going to be reminding people who's under attack here. It's the Americans under attack in America by the Americophobes. No two ways about that. So on that note, thank you, Nathan, for the discussion. And Charlie, I know you're out there. Any last very quick words before we hang up?
God bless America and God bless our troops. And ladies and gentlemen, if you love this country, don't be an Americophobe. Be an American with gut and sisu and go after those who are corrupt and dishonest. Then you'll
thank
save
you,
America.
And
goodbye.
Thank you, Charlie. And, Nathan, you want one last quick comment in there?
All right, y'all said everything. Don't be scared of America. It's the best country on earth.
Well, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for the conversation, Nathan. It was an excellent discussion tonight. And tune in Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Americans Must Stop Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's the NAFTA on steroids, so please tune into that. And as always, may God bless the USA. Good night.